into my life because I didn't want anybody to destroy.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young coming to you from Studio 3 at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the Voice of America's special coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Africa's premier men's basketball league is continuing on this Saturday with two Nile Conference games coming up at 2100 UTC. The defending Basketball Africa League champion Zamalek from Egypt will host Espoir Foucache from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Zamalek going for its 10th consecutive victory in the Basketball Africa League. Zamalek won all six of its games last year on its way to lifting the trophy, and it's won its first three games on its home court in Cairo. In Saturday's opening Nile Conference game, Petro de Luanda defeated FAP from Cameroon 73-60. And joining us now for some analysis of that game is my hoops-loving friend, Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. And feels good to be back and, you know, to join you again one more time in studio. Always feels great for sure.
Yeah, I know at the end of our post-game show on Friday evening, Prince, you mentioned that Petro would be a wounded lion when it came on the court in Cairo on Saturday. And that sure seemed to be the case. Your thoughts on this victory by Petro over FAP?
Yeah, it seems like the Easter has been good to them, Sonny. In the sense of, you know, they rained, they showered FAP with three-pointers. It was incredible what they did. And, you know, these two teams basically had history, since you recall that FAP and Petro actually met in last year's BL tournament in Kigali. And, of course, the Angolan champions once again, you know, prevailed in that particular match, 66-64, in what was actually one of their toughest tests in that particular tournament. But, yes, in this tournament also, they managed to, you know, be victors. And, of course, in that 73-60 win, 13-point difference, which, you know, all actually came up to three-pointers. If you look at the statistics, for instance, you know, just to prove what I'm saying, is that I'm in 23 attempts for the Angolan side, they made 10 three-pointers, while in 23 attempts for, you know, FAP, they actually made only 4 three-pointers. And so that was a big, big difference as far as, you know, that particular scoreline is concerned. And, you know, they actually, I'm talking about Petro, which had a balanced performance in the sense of, if you look at, you know, their performance in terms of like scoreline, Dundao, the shot guard who plays really well. He's got an incredible, really skilled player, lots of talent, great at stealing the ball, which is one of his, you know, strengths. He actually registered 16 points in that particular game. Olympia Supriano, the 40-year-old, really experienced, you know, player, came out with 11 points. Joachim had 9 points. Moraes also had 9 points in that one. You know, looking at the FAP squad, Almeida, who is basically the Cape Verdean international player and their go-to man, actually, as far as, you know, scoring is concerned, also didn't disappoint them, really. Had 13 points in that particular match. And, of course, BDS had 12, Kenfak had 7, and Wangmene had 6. But all in all, FAP actually needed to win this particular match for them to keep their BAL aspirations alive. But now that they have lost, they really face a tough test against Zamalek's side, because you'll recall AP started this conference with a bang after beating Espoir Foucache 77-60. But they really need a win against Zamalek because they find themselves in such a tough situation, Sammy.
Yes, that they're going to close with Zamalek on Tuesday, April 19th. That's going to be possibly a match that will determine whether FAP makes it to Kigali next month, Prince.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you because the way it looks, you know, it's going to take so much, if, let's say, FAP, for instance, manages to secure a win against Zamalek, which, goodness me, it will take a lot for them to win because Zamalek, they're still undefeated and they're a really good team. The good Zamalek team yesterday that beat Petro, one of the continental giants, and, you know, one of the teams that people are looking at to win this particular tournament altogether. But, wow, what a performance from them. So it will really take a lot from FAP. But in the event that FAP actually managed to surprise the whole world and beat Zamalek, then it will take some mathematical calculations. You'll have to grab yourself a pen and a paper, Sonny. To do some indexing.
Well, let's have some fun with that indexing, Prince. And once again, the plus-minus index, which is used in the official Basketball Africa League statistics, it's right at the end of the column. And how do they determine what the plus-minus index of a particular player is? Well, it's all the positive stats. Points, plus rebounds, plus assists, plus steals, plus blocks, minus three of the negative statistics, missed field goals, missed free throws, and then you subtract turnovers to determine a player's plus-minus index. And Prince, would you care to take a guess about which player had the highest plus-minus index in that Petro FAP game earlier Saturday?
Well, you know, honestly, I want to tell you, Sonny, I wasn't really a good mathematician when I was in high school. When I was in primary school, I was really good at it. Then something drastically changed. In high school, I used to doze off, and those classes were in the afternoon. So you just lost me a little bit there with all the calculations from pluses and minuses. You are doing some statistical analyses. But yeah, just coming back to layman's terms, I would say Dunda might have you know, had a significant influence as far as indexing is concerned in that match. Am I right?
Significant influence indeed, Prince. Dundao, the very crafty point guard for Petro de Luanda. Yes, he had the highest plus-minus index in that game of 16. His teammate, Yannick Morera, also scored high in the calculations with a 14. But Dundao, yeah, he was on the court for just under 32 minutes, 16 points, and he clearly is one of the leaders of that Petro team, Prince.
Absolutely, and he's a young player. He was only born in 1998, and he's 24 years old. He has a great future ahead of him. You know, he has already played for the Angolan National Juniors team, featured in the 2016 FIBA Africa Under-18 Championship, and also the 2017 FIBA Under-19 Basketball World Cup. And so, you know, he is talented. He is super experienced, has represented his club at the same time his home country, Angola, as a point guard. And, you know, just goes on to show you that there is massive talent. And, you know, he actually somehow reminds me of the NBA elevate players. He might be, you know, because I recall last year he was one of the youngest folks before they brought the idea of the NBA elevate stuff. He was actually one of the youngest folks in that particular tournament. And he still is, you know, I mean, he's playing against an older fox, but, you know, he represents also significantly, you know, the future of basketball as far as, you know, Basketball African League is concerned, and the future of African basketball. Great player, really crafty, aggressive. I love the way he steals the ball, and he always remains active, very unselfish, and, of course, takes his chances when it comes to three-point plays, layups. He does it all. He gives it, you know, he plays his heart out for sure.
And another player who plays his heart out every time he steps on the court for Petro, Olympio Cipriano, the ageless wonder for Petro. In fact, at 40 years of age, Prince, I think he might be the oldest player competing in Cairo. But just to show you his effectiveness on Saturday, he was on the court less than 13 minutes, and yet very effective for Petro. 11 points, 4 for 7 from the field, 3 for 6 from three-point territory. Still such a weapon for Petro, Prince.
Massive, massive weapon for them. You know, I mean, this is a guy, if you start talking about his CV, resume, or whatever his experience he has accumulated in some of, you know, the caps he's won, you know, you'll start doing that from morning to evening, since he's one of the most decorated basketball players in Angolan history, and of course African basketball altogether. Just to give you a brief summary, you know, he has represented the Angolan national basketball team on several international tournaments, won 4 gold AfroBasket medals for his country. He's also won 5 FIBA African Club Championship Cup titles. And, you know, he was also honored as MVP of that particular tournament, you know, in 2007, and has played, you know, in different countries too. You know, Angola being one of them. Great, great weapon for them for sure. And wow, 40 years old, still doing great things on the basketball court. This goes on to show you that age does not matter. Sunny today, if you start dribbling and scoring 3 points, who knows, you might land yourself in one of the Basketball African League you know, teams.
Well, a little later in the program, Prince, we're going to hear from my namesake, Trey Ice Chill Young. He had a big game last night for the Atlanta Hawks, but again, he is no relation. Let me make that clear, Prince. Trey is no relation to yours truly. I would like to give a shout-out for another Petro player, Prince. Johnny Pedro always seems to have a knack for being near the basketball. He had 8 rebounds in that win over FAP. And Pedro, clearly another one of the catalysts for Petro de Luanda, Prince.
Absolutely. Wow. That is royalty. When you talk about stuff related to basketball, he's royalty. He's an Angolan, Portuguese, German. Did you know that, Sunny? He has sort of 3 identities. He's Angolan, he's Portuguese, at the same time he's German, but mostly features for the Angolan national team. Has had significant, you know, experiences playing in, you know, countries such as Netherlands, and, you know, Germany, at the same time, Angola. And he actually lived in the Netherlands and Portugal as a child. And, you know, he's the son of a former Angolan national team basketball player. So it runs in the family. And, you know, he has been an Angolan league champion in 2021, Angolan Cup winner in 2022. And so massive experience indeed. And I love the way he rebounds, you know. Great rebounder. You'd love his dunks. He doesn't take anything to chance in regards to, you know, some players give up, you know, when that shot goes into the basket. Some players just leave it, assuming it's going to go in. But John Pedro, you know, often follows up and really does great at that. And so I love, you know, his enthusiasm when it comes to being on the court, Sonny.
Prince, the Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. The first round of the NBA playoffs officially tipped off on Saturday when the Utah Jazz defeated the host Dallas Mavericks 99-93. Prince and I will talk about that game in just a few minutes. But first, on Friday night, the Atlanta Hawks with Trae Young and the New Orleans Pelicans, they won play-in games, and now the Hawks will meet the top-seeded Miami Heat in the first round of the NBA playoffs, and the Pelicans will go up against the top-seeded Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more about the victories by the Hawks and the Pelicans.
Trae Young scored 32 of his 38 points in the second half of the Hawks' 107-101 win over the Cavaliers. The All-Star guard scored 16 points in the third quarter, rallying the Hawks from a 10-point halftime deficit.
I always try to stay aggressive and try to read what the defense is doing. And early in the game, they were making some reads and trying to switches and things like that. And I was trying to get my teammates involved, and I missed a couple shots, but I needed to stay aggressive, and that's all I did in the second half.
Bogdan Bogdanovic added 19 points for Atlanta.
We played them like a couple games ago. We know how we lost that game, and it was a tough game, really big game for us. They were missing some guys, but they're going to be ready, fresh to go. But we are looking for a good game, for a good series, and we are ready to play.
The Hawks advanced with two victories in the play-in, allowing them to take on the Heat. The Cavaliers went 0-2. Brandon Ingram poured in 30 points, and C.J. McCollum added 19 for New Orleans. Ingram says they stayed positive despite a 3-16 start as head coach Willie Green kept them focused.
We've been resilient. Willie stayed positive throughout the season, no matter if we won or lost, and we continue to worry about ourselves, how we can get better, how we can continue to build wins for the organization, and knowing that this isn't just for this year. This continues to go on.
The Clippers trailed by 16 in the first half and by 10 at intermission before opening the third quarter on a 20-2 run. The Pelicans regrouped and outscored Los Angeles 47-35 over the final 17 minutes. Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson each had 27 points for the Clippers. I'm Dave Ferry.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's Premier Men's Basketball League to bring you the second season of the BAL. 38 games, 12 teams living it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game. Daily highlights delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Basketball Africa League 2022 would not be the same without those hoops-loving insights from Prince Nesta, who joins me now. Prince, I mentioned those high-flying Atlanta Hawks now going up against the top-seeded Miami Heat in the first round of the NBA playoffs. The Hawks, you might say, they got one of their wings clipped with an injury by Clint Capella. It's not clear if he'll be able to play against the Miami Heat. He suffered a knee injury, hyperextension, and Capella, with very strong ties to Africa. His father is from Angola, and his mother is from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Your thoughts, Prince, on, excuse me, his mother is from Congo Brazzaville, to distinguish it from the Democratic Republic of Congo. But anyways, Prince, with Capella out, the Hawks clearly will not be at full strength against the Heat.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. They will not be at full strength against the Heat. And, you know, that's the thing. A lot of players are actually having injuries right now, especially at this stage of the competition where, you know, they're really needed the most. And so, yes, that hyperextended knee, you know, injury from their center, dependable center, fantastic center. I used to love him when I used to watch his combination with James Harden, you know, in the Houston Rockets. That's before he went to Atlanta Hawks. And, of course, he's a great player, I must admit. But at the same time, you know, they have one of, you know, your namesake, actually, Trae Young. Who basically, you know, is a crafty shooting guard. I love ability to break down defenses. You know, he's an elite player, especially as far as, you know, a great free throw shooting is concerned. And, you know, he's often aggressively guarded because he's often a constant threat, you know, when it comes to some of the teams. So basically, I think Miami is going to really have to work a little bit harder. But, hey, Miami has lots of weapons on their side. You know, we are talking about folks such as, you know, Bam Adebayo, who basically there must be some Senegalese connection, or think, maybe Togo connection,
well,
based off
think,
of that
I
name.
I think Bam actually has Nigerian heritage, Prince. Bam Adebayo. I love that name, Bam. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, man, Sonny, I love the way you rhyme. Really good flow you get there. Oh, fantastic. Thanks for that Nigerian connection, because, you know, Arsenal used to have a player, Emmanuel Adebayo, who had, who was of Togo descent, you know. And so, yep, but for sure, Bam Adebayo averaged, 22.5 points and had 6 rebounds, you know, against the Hawks. At the same time, they have a whip such as Tyler Hero, who's going to be coming in big time. I love the way his three-point plays. And, of course, Jimmy Butler, who, you know, is the engine of that team. So Miami Heat is a well-oiled machine, but with Jimmy Butler in the team, it only gives them a chance above the rest. But at the same time, we just can't, you know, dismiss our folks such as Kyrie Lowry, who also plays for the Miami team, has averaged 12.3 points in 3 games against Atlanta before. And so he's really going to be key as far as Miami Heat is concerned. And Kyrie Lowry, you will recall, Sonny, actually managed to win the NBA championship when he used to play for Toronto Raptors. The last time they won, Kyrie Lowry played a significant influence, you know, together with Fred VanVleet. At the same time, the guy who went to LA Clippers, his name just escaped my mind. But yep, experience knows how to win, and yeah, boom, should be a good look for sure. What a match.
Prince, I mentioned that injury suffered by Clint Capella. Dallas Mavericks also not at full strength. The Mavericks lost the opening game of their playoff series on Saturday to the Utah Jazz 99-93. The star for Dallas, Luka Doncic, did not play in that game. Doncic strained his left calf muscle in the regular season finale. He didn't practice all week. I'm hoping we'll see Doncic in this series, Prince, but right now without Doncic, I got to go with the Jazz to win that series.
I'm not blaming you at all, Sonny, because Doncic is a critical player for them. I mean, they talk of he's the future of the NBA. He's a time first team all NBA selection. And, you know, he actually this season alone, 28.4 points, 9.1 rebounds, and 8.7 assists this season. And, you know, he was doing so and while also playing with injuries at the same time. And injury has always been a concern with Doncic, especially when it comes to playoff games. You'll recall that in 2020, during game 4 against the LA Clippers, he had a sprained ankle and was not really cleared to play until the pregame warm-ups. And he came out big time in that particular match. I recall he had 43 points and 17 rebounds and 11 assists. And, you know, he also scored a game-winning buzzer beater, fantastic three-pointer in that match. 2021, the same in the series, you know, against Clippers. He also suffered a cervical strain in game 3. And so this has always been a concern. But we hope, you know, that he can get back so as to support, the team that actually recalled Dirk Nowitzki, who was really crucial as far as the Mavericks is concerned. And so they're always looking up to Luka Doncic as, you know, the next Dirk Nowitzki to carry Dallas Mavericks to the next championship. He will be missed for sure, Sonny.
And taking a look at the box score for that Utah-Dallas game, Prince, the game high score was Donovan Mitchell for Utah. He had 32 points. And it's quiz time again, Prince. It's quiz time on our pregame show. What does Donovan Mitchell have in common with Zamalek star Anas Mahmud, who we'll be seeing shortly at the top of the hour when Zamalek takes on Espor Fukas. What do he and Donovan Mitchell have in common, Prince?
That is a very good question. And I would like to say, did they play together at the University of Louisville?
You have done it again, Prince Nesta. Prince Nesta, you have done it again. They both attended and I think they did play together at the University of Louisville. Mitchell was drafted in 2017, first round of the NBA draft, and I do believe Mahmoud was at Louisville at that time. Prince Nesta, you are stealing all my thunder with the quizzes.
That's how we do it, you know. That's the name of the game, Sonny. They say without Nesta, there's no fiesta, so I'm bringing the fiesta.
Without Nesta, there's no fiesta. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. All right, Prince, let's talk about the game coming up at the top of the hour. Zamalek, still with a lot to play for. They're unbeaten so far in the Nile Conference with three consecutive victories. They're coming off a big win over Petro de Luanda, 89-71 on Friday night. What really resonated in a lot of ways about that victory, Prince, was the thunderous crowd in Cairo. Were they loud and supportive?
Absolutely. I agree with you. They carried their team, Zamalek, you know, from start to finish. At no point in time I was that stadium silent. They were always on their toes, giving the team morale. Fantastic stuff, you know, incredible for African basketball. Zamalek today also needs them somehow, because this is actually going to be a David versus Goliath affair, Sonny. They're going to be playing against a weak Espor Fukas side, which, you know, is the only team in the Nile Conference that is yet to win a game. And so they're going to be going up against Giants, a team, Zamalek, which has never lost a game in the history of the Basketball African League. And they actually enjoy an overall 9-0 record, as you've mentioned. They're going to be going up for their 10th win. That's if they win. And so Fukas must win to stay in contention. They find themselves in such a tough scenario where they must win. Otherwise, you know, they will be packing their bags tonight and going back, you know, to the DRC. And so we expect to see a lot from, you know, experienced players such as, you know, former Phoenix Suns guard, DJ Strawberry for the Zamalek side, who, you know, as we all know, played with Steve Nash, you know, at the now Brooklyn Nets coach. They played together, and he actually, you know, was really influenced by Steve Nash's work ethic and confidence, which left a lasting impression, you know, on Strawberry as a rookie at that particular time. You'll recall that Strawberry has also earned significant experience, you know, having played at the University of Maryland, played with star-studded players such as Hall of Famer, you know, former Hall of Famer, that's Shaquille O'Neal, Barbosa, Grant Hill, and stuff. And so that experience, together with Anas Mahmoud, who basically, you know, played at the University of Louisville, also another American connection, and of course, the other fantastic, great, you know, Zamalek players. What a terrific team they've got. There's the big bad machine working really well. And no oil is leaking at this point as far as Zamalek is concerned, Sonny.
Prince, we have about a minute left in our pregame show. In terms of Fukas's performance, I imagine it must really disappoint Dikembe Mutombo, who we've been seeing courtside in Cairo. Your quick thoughts.
I agree with you. So a total disappointment, but, you know, all is not lost for them. They should come out big time and win it, because Rolly Fuller should actually be the man to watch out for as far as the Fukas squad is concerned. They should play as a team and, of course, start really fast and, you know, foul out some of those Zamalek big men and see where it's going to go. But they really face a tough task for sure, Sonny.
Always a fiesta with Prince Nesta. Prince will be back with me at halftime, postgame, and occasionally during these timeouts and breaks during the upcoming action. Coming up at the top of the hour, 2100 GMT, Zamalek, the defending Basketball Africa League champion, will host Espor Fukas from the Democratic Republic of Congo. That's all the time we have. Thanks to my producer, downtown Daniel Brown. Thanks also to my engineer, Nick Ivanoff. I'm VOA Sonny Young, coming to you from Studio 3 at our Voice of America headquarters. Stay tuned. Keep it locked to the Voice of America for our continuing Basketball Africa League coverage.
Thank you for joining us here at the Dr. Hassan Mustafa Sports Hall. We're in the land of the pharaohs. Yes, where Nefertiti once roamed, where the pharaohs were, Thutmose II, and all of the wonderful pharaohs that we know from these parts once stood. Espoir Foucache Congo against Zamalek Egypt. We are talking about the Basketball Africa League and the final game from today. 12 teams from 12 countries right across the continent, all battling for one of those very precious places in Kigali for the finals on the 20th of May. The Sahara Conference already resolved with four teams qualified. Now we're here to find out which other four teams will join them. Usher is joining me. Usher, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just excited ahead of this game. Zamalek have looked perfect in this tournament so far. Let's see if Espoir Foucache can ask the right questions tonight.
Yeah, let's see what they can do. They got three from three, of course. They come into this fourth clash ready to, well, just get the arrow going, of course. The Pharaoh is looking to try and shoot the right arrow in the right direction. We're going to go in the right direction now on the other side of the court. It is that man, Q, who's with us. Q, are you feeling this? Zamalek, three from three, going well.
Yeah, the White Knights at home, I think it's been a showcase. It's been a show, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Espoir Foucache can put up against the defending champions.
Zamalek coming off an 85-72 win over Atletico Petro Atletico de Luanda from Angola, the other giants from the Nile Conference, and basically giving them a good run for their money, but losing out in the final quarter, 85-72. So Zamalek just showing us what they're capable of doing, Usher. But the question is, can they do it again? Anis Mahmoud and these big giants, the defending champions, here in their own backyard. They've already got three. We already know that they're going to go through. In which position? Well, maybe we'll find out tonight just how they are good in continuity.
We're looking at Zamalek, a very well-oiled team with a lot of experience in the perimeter, in the paint, and you can see that that has come off to pay in all the games that they've played, and obviously being coached by Will Voigt, the man with a lot of experience. He's a journeyman. He's coached in Angola with the national team and previously with Nigeria.
Now look at Mick McKinney. He's coming in, of course, and starting with Islam Salam, Anis Mahmoud, Diogo, and Daryl Strawberry Jr. And it's Edgar Souza who's got a knee sprain. He'll sit out of this. He'll be back for their final game. It's not too serious, but he, of course, was their top scorer in last night in that wonderful battle against Atletico, Petro Atletico. And he really did show us what he's capable of doing. A very experienced player linking up with Zamalek. And they come up against Espoir Foucache. Now they need to hit back. They need to try and produce the goods. The team from the DRC playing in their first ever Basketball Africa League, and from Kinshasa. And we know that we've got basketball legends that come out of that wonderful country. It's a big country. Can they deal with Zamalek tonight? That's the big question, isn't it? How are they going to deal with Zamalek tonight?
To be quite honest, you're talking about a team in Zamalek that has 85 years of rich basketball history coming up against a young side that was only formed in 2019, just 3 years old. It's like a baby.
The experience that you get from playing in this competition, in this league, is absolutely essential for the future. We're setting up, you know, chances and opportunities for all of these players of Espoir Foucache. And honestly, we know what athletes come out of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Oh, yes, we got one who's going to be watching from the side of the court tonight. Normally, Dikembe Mutombo, of course, a legend who played in the NBA. One of many exports. Let's have a look at the starting five here. Tawil Nasise Amanza, Boba Kazaza, Chris Laza, Rolly Nganga, Fula, and Emmanuel Isungu are the players who are starting tonight, the starting five for Espoir Foucache. What can they do out here tonight? Can Raven Mwemba create some kind of magic to bring down the mighty Zamalek? Well, that's his mission in hand, and it is a big mission, but we've seen stranger things happen in the Basketball Africa League. Maybe it's their night. You never know.
You never know, and indeed, there's an addition to the technical bench for Espoir Foucache with the addition of Emmanuel Mavoma. He comes with a lot of experience as a coach, but also as a video analyst. He's worked with Nigeria, the national team, back when they won the FIBA Afro Basket in 2015, as well as the Angolan national team. He's done an incredible job. He's now working with Nigeria again and was with them at the Olympics. And he brings all that experience today to this game against Zamalek.
And it's an interesting connection, of course. And that is because we obviously have a Will Voigt, who was the coach of the 2015 Nigerian team in AfroBasket, obviously playing a role in this battle here, because he's the head man for Zamalek now.
Absolutely, and looking at the fans courtside, very excited to be watching their stars. I mean, when you look at a club like Zamalek, inspiring a nation here in Egypt, across the world, and just really the way that they've played. And looking at that man, Will Voigt, he's all smiles. 3-0 so far, unbeaten in the Nile Conference, looking good and looking ready to go all the way to Kigali and to try and defend their BAL title.
It really was all about beating Petro Atletico, wasn't it? And this man here, the Nigerian, who has such a big role, Ike Diogu, came in and produced 18 points in their second game that really stood out from the crowd after, having a presence in the first half, but coming through in a big way. 18 points, it's a big tally, that is. We got a big clash on our hands, hopefully, tonight. Let's see what Foucache can create out here as we get ready to get down to business here in Cairo with Zamalek, the White Knights, winning possession, and the ball straight into the hands of Eslam Salem. And McKinney getting his chance to shine out here. He's been really impressive, hasn't he, McKinney? It's his first start for Zamalek since the start of this Nile Conference.
It just brings a lot of versatility to that Zamalek backcourt, and that's exactly what Will Voigt is looking for at this stage.
Here's McKinney. McKinney going through the paint, and there's the floater, and the first violation there, and they get the possession back, Espoir Foucache. So obviously you can just see that there was contact there, and we'll see how this fares with a long-range shot coming in, coming off the metal. Let's see if the rebound. Let's see if Foucache can get their first points. Well, they can't, because Anas Mahmoud is there, and he really does protect the ring, doesn't he, in a big way.
Defensive player of season one of the BAL.
It's just delightful, isn't it? Ike Diogu with a big three-pointer. We know what the Nigerian is capable of. Mentioned about his second-half performance in game two. He really has stood out from the crowd. The moment that he wants to shine, he shines. And that's a wonderful, wonderful basket as well. And a first score there for Rolly Fuller.
Great to see Ike scoring in the first half. In their last game, he started off a little bit slow, but today he's up and running.
Kinney gets a second chance. He tries to be unselfish and get the ball into the path of Mahmoud, but it wasn't read perfectly. And Fukash go on the attack, a long-range shot coming in, and it just goes on the other side of the rim. And picked up and taken forward there. Salem getting involved, Mahmoud trying to link up. And it's McKinney who gets hold of the ball out wide, and a chance for 3 points, drained by Strawberry Jr.
Absolutely incredible. Now you have three players on the scoreboard for Zamalek. Just goes to show you the depth. Anyone can score when they have the ball.
Well, let's just bring in the names of the officials out here tonight, because of course they play in a pivotal role in our game.
Yes, the crew chief tonight is Julian McFadden from the USA. Brings a lot of experience from the NBA G League. He's been there for 3 years. He's also officiated at the NBA Summer League in 2019. There's Amir Taboubi from Tunisia and Mahmoud Diallo from Mali.
So a couple of big scores coming in there. McKinney there on the one side. Nassis Ambanza of Canada just up the other end with a beautiful score. And 4 points for Espoir Foucault, 10 for Zamalek. And less than a few minutes in. That's a long-range shot that doesn't even go anywhere near the basket, I'm afraid, for Ambanza. And Espoir Foucault give the ball back to that big man, Mahmoud.
Well, frustration for Coach Raven Mwimba. The shot selection is not right at the moment for the Congolese champions. They need to correct that going forward if they want to stay in this game.
And there's a lovely shot. Look at that. He's got his range, isn't he? Daryl Strawberry Jr., Cameroon international, of course, decided to pledge his allegiance to the Central West African nation. And why not? A long-range shot coming in this time. It just goes on the other side, not on the right side of the metal. Mahmoud drops it into the path of this man here, Salem. Over the top it goes. No one there to get the rebound. Tidied up. And a chance for Fukash to try and score points. They need to score points on every possession that they have because Zamalek is so meticulously good. Long-range shot down the left-hand side. Rattles the ring, comes back out. Mahmoud there to pick up the pieces. McKinney takes over down the middle, looks left, looks right, decides to go in the paint himself, and that is a fine score indeed. There you go. Perseverance pays off for McKinney. And a timeout has been called by Fukash, logically, as they trail by 11 points.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Right now we have 6 minutes and 16 seconds left in the first quarter. Zamalek off to an excellent start. The home team leads Espoir Foucault 15-4. Prince Nesta, your thoughts on the first few minutes of this game?
Goodness me, you can see the inexperience, especially on the Espoir Foucault side show, you know, because Zamalek, pretty much the way I know them, they often start the game a little bit slow, but right now I can see Ike has put his name on the score sheet. Strawberry Jr. is back in it. McKinney is really firing from all cylinders. Wow, this might end up to be a really bad loss for Foucault.
Yeah, I sort of had that same sense, Prince, that this could be a blowout. Hopefully they can keep this Zamalek, keep him within sights, I guess is the way to say it, and that the lead doesn't build too much.
I agree. They should concentrate on, you know, their defense too. They are letting in too many shots from, you know, the Zamalek side, but they should improve a little bit defensively. Physically aggressive helps, you know, a lot when it comes to the defensive end of things.
DJ Strawberry and Michael McKinney, the two Americans, they're off to good starts for Zamalek. They each have 6 points. But once again, Zamalek leads Espoir Foucault 15-4. Let's go back to the action in Cairo.
Welcome back to the Dr. Hassan Mustafa Sports Hall in Cairo. We're in Egypt, and we're getting to the business end of this Nile Conference, where we've got a few more encounters remaining. And was that a three-second time call in the key?
It was a walk.
Oh.
A walk on Roly Fula Nganga.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Strawberry Junior with a wonderful long-range skill set. 4:15 it is. And we are going to see just how Zamalek are going to deal with this. Just spilling that fine form, and that's a wonderful score, isn't it? You know, he's just got the right frame to be able to do that. You know, he takes the pass, a little roll, and then of course just dropping in for the 2 points there. Excellent play by Diogu, the Nigerian international. They need to react and they need to get some points here. Fukash, and a chance for Strawberry Junior. Mahmoud with a little dunk, a gentle dunk, if you can call it a gentle dunk. 2 points. To extend their tally to 4-19. We'll now go and call upon Q, because Q is roaming around left and right, talking and listening and picking up information. Q, what have you got for us?
Espoir Fokash, timeout was really just focused on the offensive end, surprisingly, given how well Zamalek are playing. The technical start was needed, better execution. They're looking to get the ball to Kasongo. He's going to be their primary point, and let's see how well that strategy works.
And we'll keep our eyes on Kasongo. Look at that. That's beautifully done, isn't it? McKinney, Mahmoud, that partnership is starting to pay off big time. It is 4 points for Espoir Fukash, 21 for Zamalek, 4:44 left in the first quarter.
Anas announcing himself there on both ends of the court and getting involved in transition, in the paint, and just showing why he is an incredible player for Zamalek.
It's a long-range shot that just goes over the top there from Raleigh Fuller. Yeah, he's a big player, isn't he? It's a wonderful drive through the paint, isn't it? He's got great acceleration, Islam Salem. And just getting snagged and caught up. And wonderful play there. Good interlinking between McKinney and Mahmoud. Mahmoud going to the bench. Little change here with Kidju coming on, who's a difficult player to deal with as well. And they get possession back. Zamalek in the hands of Islam Salem. Going from Gezira in 2019. McKinney going high over the top. And it doesn't fall, so it's being picked up by Ambanza. Ambanza gets the ball out wide. It's a good chance for a three-point shot that just comes off the metal. Rebound. The rebound's good, and it's a score there for Chris Mpaka, just 18 years of age.
Chris Mpaka has been doing all the work on defense, and finally he's rewarded on the other side of the court.
Second violation, just hanging around a little bit too much in the key and paying the price for that. It just gives Fukash the chance to get possession back and try and go again.
And there's a change on the floor as Omar Hesham comes in to replace Islam Salem.
It's an offensive foul on this occasion, as we can see Raleigh Fuller just charging into Strawberry Junior. There he is on his back. Second foul for Espoir Fukash.
It's been a feature of their play right now. Both teams executing at a high level with only two fouls in just about 7 minutes.
Thanks, Q. Strawberry Junior into the Nigerians' hands. Diogu is Kidju. Kidju's very strong, loves to out-muscle his opponents in the paint, but it's Strawberry Junior who goes up for a big shot, unable to sink it, gets knocked out of bounds. And it is Diogu who is right, claiming that it came off the fingertips of a Fukash player.
Well, looking at the rhythm of this game, Zamalek have been able to grow slowly into this quarter and controlling the rhythm of the game. 21-6 with 3 minutes to play.
Kidju, look at that drive. Very difficult to deal with. The ball comes out. Farag is on, of course. Diogu into McKinney, and there's Kidju. Kidju tries to rise up. He gets fouled, and the foul being committed there by Emmanuel Isungu.
One of the strengths of this Zamalek team is how quickly they move the ball and they have options. There's quick movement on the floor. They're able to score from transition, from driving into the paint, and getting the points on the board. But for now, Kijo on the line.
His very aggressive behavior in the paint gives him a great advantage because he'll fight. He'll fight valiantly. He's a wonderful player, isn't he? Great player to come in and just take over the role of Mahmoud, a big in the paint and, you know, constantly out-muscling his other bigs on the other side of the court. Here he is going up for his second shot. 6:22, 3 minutes left of the first quarter. Picked up by Esungu. Long range shot. Well, it dropped before the ring, of course, and there was a chance to pick it up, but there was a foul that was committed.
Well, things are not looking pretty for Espoir Foucache. Behind the arc, they are 0-9.
Yeah, they need to sort that out, of course. Get that going, and it's a little bit of a different scenario, but 6:22 at the moment. As Faragu picks up the foul on that occasion. Very physical, they're very present, aren't they, in defence? Farag just steering himself a little bit too close into the path of that man. Pongo. Kapongo gets the ball to Mwana. Mwana looks for space, comes off the hand of McKinney. They'll get possession back. Zamalek, the most successful team on the continent. Got 52 titles in total. That's just ridiculous. Imagine the size of the trophy cabinet, Usher.
acres.
No, it's like an airplane locker, you know, hangar, isn't it? It's just... They've got to build a new one as well. Is McKinney going up for two? But it's the rebound that matters. Kijudu in the business. Once again, showing off what he's capable of doing just around the boards. Very dangerous player. I know that Q would love to come up against Kiju. It's the kind of player that he'd love to get tangled up with.
Don't get me involved in these battles that I can't fight.
Don't worry, Q. We'll make sure the officiating is great. Don't worry.
McKinney. That's delightful, isn't it? Good use of the hands, just keeping himself out of danger and finding his way out of the thicket. Zamalek, which is one of numerous great teams that come out of Egypt. Of course, we know about the rivalry with Al Ahly. And there's McKinney doing and Kiju working their magic, of course, but very, very competitive league it is in Egypt, and a lot of players like to come to Egypt because they know that they can play for great teams and fight for silverware, and there's a lot of youngsters to pick from, because you've got players who come from the south, from Aswan, right across to to the north in Alexandria, Suez, and of course Cairo, and even down in Luxor and down in that region, going down the Nile, as we see Zamalek picking up the rebound, and Kiju once again trying to roll away from his man, but the rebound is picked up, tidied up by us, and Mwana. And Kapongo down that right side, and another foul. And it goes against Foucache.
And maybe just a word on why Zamalek are doing so well. Of the 10 made field goals, 7 of those have been assisted. It just shows how efficient they have been on the offensive end and how well they've been playing.
And it's all about passing the ball around. I think that they've got the... they've got the pedigree, the experience, and the savoir-faire of just distribution. You know, you've got players who will keep calm. They know the score. They played big games. They played in finals. They've won silverware. They always get the right coach to come in. So they'll know how to distribute and just keep their feet firmly on the ground and keep cold-headed. You know, I think that's what's important, Usher, right?
And talking to them, obviously, before the tournament, saying that they remember exactly how they felt in Kigali when they won the first season of the BAL. They want to feel that once more, and this is exactly the journey that they need to go through to qualify, go to Kigali for the playoffs, and have a chance to win back-to-back titles.
63-78 was the score. And Zamalek absolutely dominating and bossing US Monastir as we see five turnovers to one. And they need to sort that out, of course, Fukash, because they need possession. They need to turn that possession into points. Kids, you look at that. Oh, it's sublime to the eye. You can't sink the points as we hit 33.4 seconds and a 20-point gap has grown here. But that scenario, 63-78 in the final, we remember it really, really well with the likes of Fakhwad getting 15 points, Ilonu with 12, Diabite, of course, Solo Diabite of the Cote d'Ivoire. Some wonderful players who really provided us with some excellent fireworks that night.
And that's the beauty about this Zamalek side. Yes, they lost Diabate, Solo, and Walter Hodge, the MVP of that tournament. But look at them now. They've replaced them with Makini. You have Sosa doing an incredible job, and Strawberry as well. And they're Diogo. Just looking incredible. And Diogo. Ike Diogo.
Ooh. You've got someone big coming in. Diogo, NBA experience, of course, and an African as well, which is brilliant. So, you know, you're just combining those two factors, and you understand that you've really got basketball royalty, which was something that we like to mention quite often. And that's a fantastic score and a very important score. It's a buzzer beater that's just been dropped there. And how about that? Bob O'Neill getting a big, big three-pointer. And it's 11 points for BC. Espoir Fukash and Zamalek.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of the Basketball Africa League. After one quarter of action, Zamalek leads Espoir Fukash 26-11. I'm joined once again by Prince Nesta. Prince Fukash with a couple three-pointers there at the end, but Zamalek in firm control right now.
I totally agree with you. Fukash needs to continue with that trend. Three-point plays really help, especially when it comes to cutting out that big difference that is starting to build up. But, of course, their offense had actually crumbled at some point, but it seems like they're improving. But I really like what Zamalek is doing. They're scoring from transition. They're determining the pace of the game, attacking the basket through their powerful drive. So aggressive. And it's really hard to imagine, Sonny, that this is the team that played yesterday. They look so fresh.
They do look fresh. And speaking of fresh, Prince. Well, no, Zamalek brought in some fresh players for this second season of the Basketball Africa League. We remember Walter Hodge, MVP for Zamalek last year. Well, he's gone now, but in his place they brought in DJ Strawberry, Michael McKinney, Ike Diagu, a name familiar to our many listeners in Nigeria. Well, those players have accounted for 19 points in this game, Prince. So they're really, it shows you how they've reloaded for this second season of the Basketball Africa League.
That's so true. And, you know, you haven't named Edgar Sosa. You haven't mentioned Sosa.
Sosa,
player,
yes.
Dominican-American player, yeah.
And Sosa with those alley-oops to Mahmoud. I haven't seen one yet, but he's a wonderful passer.
Absolutely fantastic player. And, you know, we'll just wait and see how this goes, because those four plus Mahmoud, goodness me, fantastic stuff.
Well, let's go back to Cairo. Once again, Zamalek leads 26-11 over Fukash.
After the first quarter. And, well, we've got a lot of basketball to be played, but Espoir Fukash just scoring a three-pointer, which came at a very important time. And that is so important for them at the moment, isn't it, Usher? Because it'll give them a little bit of hope, give them the confidence to go into the second quarter.
They needed that to sort of reduce that deficit and get into the double digits in this game. And you can see that they've come back with more energy as we see Sosa Edgar, who's been incredible for Zamalek, sitting out this game as he rests from that injury.
Yeah, he's got a knee sprain, of course, which will keep him sidelined. Fukash going up to the free throw line just to try and reduce the arrears a little bit, which is going to be good for them, good for their morale. And it's a great moment now for us to go and join Q, who's joined by the NBA Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer Mark Tatum.
Well, thank you very much, Robbie. Yes, I am joined by basketball royalty Mark Tatum sitting alongside me. Mark, you were at the Sahara Conference and you're out here at the Nile Conference. Can I ask you what your impressions are in terms of what you've seen on the court and also off the court?
Quinton, I'm so excited to be here. And as you said, I was in Dakar, Senegal as well. What I'm excited about is the high level of basketball. This is the best club basketball on the continent right now. And the fans are reacting to it in such a powerful way. They're representing their teams. They're out here enjoying themselves, chanting, and really seeing the highest level of club basketball on the continent.
I'm glad that you mentioned the fans, because this is the second Zamalek game that you're seeing. What has the fan response been out here in Egypt like?
The fan response has been amazing. Last night's game was a close game, and the Zamalek fans were out here in full force. Tonight, you know, even though it's a late night, we see fans here cheering for their team. Zamalek is a great team. They have gone undefeated in the BAL between last season and this season. And so their fans really appreciate that high level of basketball that they're playing, and they're out here rooting their team on.
Now, the Basketball Africa League, how does that fit into the NBA's plans in order to grow the game on the African continent?
Yeah, we think that the game of basketball, like sports, can be an economic growth engine here. And it can also be a platform for the young kids on this continent, a health and wellness platform. And so the Basketball Africa League is one inspiring kids all throughout Africa now to see a high-level league where they can aspire to play in one day without having to go overseas somewhere. And we also think that by having this league, we're going to create new jobs. We're going to create economic opportunity. We're here in this new arena here in Cairo. We played in a new arena in Dakar, Senegal. There's a new arena in Kigali, Rwanda. We're starting to see that development now, and that's going to create economic opportunities and growth for the young population here in Africa.
It might be an opportunity for some other countries on the continent.
For sure, for sure. One of the beautiful things about this season is that we're playing games for the first time ever in three different continents, three different cities, exposing fans around the continent to high-level BAL basketball.
It sounds so exciting, Mark. We can't wait to see what the overall plans are and the later executions, but thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Quentin. Thank you, Quentin.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Mark Tatum. It's been a pleasure to have you on the live broadcast. And thank you, Q. We'll get Q back on the other side of the court now because he's a busy man. But there you have Mark Tatum, NBA Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operations Officer. Great to hear from him. And the future looks bright for Basketball Africa League. We're very excited about this. And just those wonderful words, Usher, they really just make us believe in this incredible project that's been put together by BAL, by the President Amadou Gallo Fall, of course, whose baby it is at the end of the day, and of course FIBA linking with and obviously NBA.
Obviously, yes, you are definitely right. The NBA Africa has opened up an office in Nigeria. Things are looking exciting. There's a lot of talent in that West African nation. Obviously, we know the number of players that Nigeria has contributed to the NBA, and there's more from where that came from.
And there's a foul that's just taken place there. You can see that they're scrambling in a big way. Islam Salem committing the foul. A lot of scrambling taking place on the court in the last couple of minutes. And look at the scenario here. It is BC Espoir Boukash 14, Zamalek 27, a 13-point lead. And they're finding something. They're digging deep, and they're getting themselves some crucial points because they're fighting hard, which is something that we know that everybody from the DRC can do really well.
Absolutely. Now, Espoir Boukash know that basketball is a game of runs. The more rhythm they get in this game and keep it close, that's the better way to stay in contention for victory tonight.
Here he is, Islam Salem, with a big three-pointer. We always knew it was going in. The mechanics were there, the trigonometry was there, and the points followed. Beautiful stuff. As Boukash go for three themselves, it goes up, it hits the metal, and comes out on the side, and it's been tidied up by that man, Salem, once again. Very fast and furious player, isn't he? And this is an interesting change here, with McKinney going off, of course, and basically bringing on lots of replacements, but those who have come on, making their mark.
Now, obviously, you can see that Coach Will Voigt is giving more minutes to his bench players. And that is obviously to see how best they can execute Now, Zamalek on the weekend will be playing in the semifinals of the league against Ittihad Alexandria, a local rival in Alexandria, in that northern city. So it's important for them to get everyone to play and for the big players to get some of the rest in this game.
And one player who will like that a lot, Asha, will be Ahmed Farag, who is the one player who comes from Alexandria up in the northern coastline of Egypt, of course, in the southeastern corner of the Mediterranean, if you can picture that on your map, as we see a big three-pointer coming in. The triple drops for that man. That big score coming in from Jack Kabongo. 11 points separating these two teams now. Adam Essam goes for a big triple. Picked up and dealt with very well there, Bob O'Neill. And was there contact there? Will it be a foul? Yes, there will. Just leaning into him and picking up the foul. It's Kadi Mamboup, of course, who's the Senegalese youngster who's part of the NBA Academy. And we will go back to Q. Q, are you with us?
I'm right here, Robbie, courtside, and maybe a chance to share insights from Espoir Foucault's coaching staff just before the game. They really wanted to emphasize playing their way. And that means imposing themselves on the offensive end and having a defensive identity. And I think it's come to the fore here in the second quarter.
This is very physical. This is turning into a big battle. And, you know, they know that this game, if they can win this game, then things turn around completely. They really do. So, obviously, they're going to invest heavily. And as we go into the second quarter, of course, it's down to 9 points. They mean business. They're here, and they will fight to the bitter end. And I think that they know that when they take off their starting five, Zamalek, it's a great chance for them to strike. Unless this man can find his range, and he does that indeed. The 20-year-old Ahmed Mohamed at the other end. Very quick transition. Foucache going for the... Well, it's a nice little tip-in, but the whistle was blown before the drop. And the foul was on Kabongo. Very calm, very collected there, Asha.
Yes, to deliver the goods. Now, looking at Espoir Foucache. They've been looking great on the free throw line, shooting 83% so far in this game. That is 6 for 7 now. We wait for Emmanuel to make his second attempt. He misses.
And a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of encouragement coming from the Foucache bench. Of course, they know that... If they can cut into that lead and provide a few big shots from outside, then they can bring that lead down a lot, and they proved that they can do that. And all it took was two big three-pointers, and the scenario's changed completely. You could just feel that there's a little bit more urgency for Zamalek to react. Kidju, McKinney, trying to use the screen, trying to find some space. That's nicely done. He does draw the foul as well. The foul committed by that man, Asen Mawana.
Now looking at the replay there, McKinney once again drives into the paint, looks for a dishing option, and in this case, Kidju.
He's just so good at that, isn't he, McKinney? McKinney will dance, will move. He'll produce the moves and the grooves.
He's
fully capable of doing that. He dances around. I don't know how he manages to dodge all of those giant defenders, but he does it so well. He's the kind of player you really want on the court. There you go. 9 points, 8 minutes on the court, and providing us with some wonderful basketball so far. McKinney in the starting five and getting his chance to shine, and he will seize that opportunity. It's another foul that's been committed. Strawberry Jr. at fault on this occasion.
And Strawberry. Strawberry Jr. obviously getting Zamalek into team foul trouble. That's their fifth, and they'll be heading to the line.
Yeah, with 6:32 left on the clock in the half, of course, that's not an ideal scenario. But I think we've understood that it's They've turned up, they've turned the notch of physicality up to maximum, and they've most definitely plowed into Zamalek to try and resolve their problem, and they've managed to rattle the White Knights of Cairo, and hence the reason why we're seeing some good points being scored. But they've got to they've just got to remain on track and continue to do that.
We've seen them play first quarter as well and be aggressive in the second quarter, but whether they can continue to do the same in the second half of the game is something we'll need to wait and see.
McKinney working his magic. There's Ahmed Yasser getting the ball to Kiju. Again, shows what he's capable of doing. And it's a big move, isn't it? It's a very big move.
Kiju is being met to work for every point he gets on the board, but he's ready to do the work.
And that is that's Kibuya's third foul, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Jack Kapongo Kibuya. Three fouls. Here he is. Ball in his hands, picking out Arsen Mawana. Arsen Mawana looking for the bigs to give him that. Emmanuel Okorafor's a big shot coming in there from Mawana. The ball comes out wide. A good chance now, and it goes in. It's a fine shot. Kapongo dropping in the 3 points. It's a big reaction from the bench as well. They really needed that. 26-38.
And that is 9 points for the man. He's been solid today, putting in a good shift on defense and offense for Espoir Foucache.
Strawberry Jr. using McKinney, and finally the ball comes out. It's a long-range shot. He's just rattles the ring, comes back out. And it looks like Zamalek will get possession. Kidju battling valiantly over in that corner. And the NBA Academy player, 17 years of age, Emmanuel Okorafor. And they really have shone, the youngsters who have come through the Academy NBA Elevate program.
And that is the essence of that BAL Elevate program, and their coach Roland Houston just watching on from courtside, nodding his head and just getting excited at how they've been able to adapt to this high level of basketball.
3-point effort there coming in. It comes back out from Salem, and a little bit of a dance stop. And a jumper coming in. Finally, there's a three-point shot coming in from that man, Ben Ilunga. Third attempt to try and find the points. The tip in. And they lose possession. Four chances to score. And finally, it's McKinney who gets that. Strawberry Jr. Strawberry Jr. with a big shot that goes in and goes out. Kidju, the Nigerian, Diogu. Tidied up once again. End-to-end action, but no scores just as we speak. 26-38. Oh, second chance. A little bit lucky there, but you'll take whatever you possibly can. And it is Emmanuel Okorafor who gets the better of Ike Diogu. And it's 26-38. We will take a break and come back and after this timeout.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Right now, Zamalek, the defending league champion, leads Espoir Foucache from the Democratic Republic of Congo 38-22. We have just over 4 minutes left in the second quarter. I'm joined once again by Prince Nesta. Prince, Foucache staying within striking range.
I agree with you. They have realized they need this game the most because, you know, they have so far lost all the games, and so they need to win this one, and they have against, you know, a very good Zamalek side. So it's a physical game, but I love what they're doing getting back onto this one. They're making defensive stops. You know, they're deflecting some of those passes. They're really ripping through hard, especially in the offense, and getting some of those rebounds. And, you know, it's really great to see what they're doing. But the three-point plays should, you know, come out, and they should hit those threes for them to reduce that gap.
Right now, Zamalek with a 10-point lead on Foucache, 38-28. Just over 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Prince and I will be back at halftime. Let's go back to the action in Cairo.
Back here at the Hassan Mustafa Sports Hall, and the scores on the doors: 28 points for BC Espoir Foukash of the Democratic Republic of Congo and 38 for Zamalek. We will obviously be looking for some big points scored here. Espoir Foukash just keeping them close and fighting for everything, but they've got Anas Mahmoud, who's come on, so the big boys have come on to try and put some points on the scoreboard. But McKinney, honestly, I don't know how he manages to just weave in between players. His hands, they're like tentacles of an octopus. It's marvelous.
He's absolutely mastered the art of driving into the paint. 12 points so far.
Strawberry Jr. with the interception, and there's McKinney tries to go up, and there is a foul, and there's a little bit of frustration. I think it's Arsene Mwana who it's Ben Olunga who puts his hands up, and he knows that he made contact. And of course, five team fouls apiece. We're going straight to the free throw line. Which will obviously give McKinney the chance to just extend his tally. He's up to 12 points already, and it gives us a chance to go across to our man, Q. What have you got for us?
Well, again, I had to go to the Espoir Foukash bench because I wanted to see what adjustments the coach was looking for. And offensively orientated, they continue to want to space the floor. You can look at them dribble penetrate and continue to try and find shooters. They are not going to go away from the three-point line, and it's going to be a focus in these final 3 minutes, 44 seconds.
Thank you, Q. McKinney. Increasing his tally, and another shot from the free throw line. Top scorer so far, and seizing his opportunity to get himself into this squad and providing us with some fine points. He's went to college in Sacramento State and drafted in the NBA 2015, but a two-year deal in Antwerp in Belgium saw him begin his professional career. That's a big score, isn't it? When you see Narcis Almanza just going through, found a little bit of space, made sure that he drew the defender and off the glass and in, and the foul's been committed by Kinney.
That's exactly what Espoir Foukash need to continue doing, to ask those questions, drive into the paint, draw the foul, and head over to the free throw line, or even just give themselves a three-point play.
But he didn't make a three-point play, just missing that free throw, and it's something that they've got to really be stringent with if they want to play against Zamalek and compete with them on the scoreboards at the end of the day. He's so strong, but on that occasion, Diogu unable to drop it in. And what, 3 minutes remaining in the half, and a chance for a big shot coming in. That was sumptuous from Ben Olunga, putting DRC on the map in terms of scoring big shots. That was definitely up there, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Olunga just keeping Espoir Foukash alive in this fixture. You can see that the odds were against Espoir Foukash, but they've come out running out of the blocks and are not going to give up.
Well, look at this. This is the drive from Omar Hisham. He's great acceleration. He comes through. He's a little bit unlucky there, Chris Mbaka. He went for a legal block, but just made contact. And hence the reason why Hisham is stepping up to the free throw line and trying to increase the tally. They do have, 11-point lead, 2:42 left of this half. And both teams on five team fouls, so obviously they've got to be a little bit careful, but we know that this is already a very physical affair, Usher.
Yes, it is. You can see Anas Mahmoud giving Omar Hisham some encouragement there. He grew up in that Zamalek structure, came through the grassroots program, and is now playing for the senior team. He was part of the season one win with Zamalek last year in Kigali, and he's back. back in action.
Back in business. Back where he belongs. Well, losing possession just like that is not the ideal scenario against the defending champions. It's the small things that they've really got to sort out at the moment. Espoir Foucache, he can't give away possession just like that so easy. You know that Zamalek will exploit. McKinney has been exploiting throughout this encounter, and the ball comes out. Diogo tries to get it back. Is he quick enough to get it? No, he isn't. And there's McKinney and a little battle that's taking place up against Narcisse Mbanza. And the American-Canadian battle just sees Espoir Foucache finish with a chance to go to the free throw line. 2:19 left to play.
As much as McKinney has been doing an incredible job on offense, it's been tough for him on the other side. Two fouls so far. Just failing to get to the ball on that one.
Just one of two Zamalek players that are bordering on foul trouble. The other one is the young Mbop, who's got three fouls and he's on the bench.
Yeah, thank you for that, Q. And we'll keep a close eye on that. There's Mbanza, 5 points, one from two in a free throw line. And trying to get the nod of approval from his coach, Raven Mawimba. Manuel Mavomo, who you mentioned, Jires Bongubu, the other assistant coaches, of course, to make up the trio, trying to work their magic, trying to get Foucache the right result. They're battling hard, they're battling valiantly, but they need to score these points, and the points have been drained. That's a beautiful layup, sumptuously done. Wally Fuller, probably one of the most experienced players in this Foucache team, and nearly giving the ball away, and there's a travelling call on Daryl Strawberry Jr.
Well, great strategy there for Espoir Foucache, who just put an entire full-court press, put pressure on Zamalek. Two turnovers for Zamalek, and now we have a five-point game.
Yeah,
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to Special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Espoir Foucache fighting back in Cairo. They now trail Zamalek, the defending Basketball Africa League champion, by 5 points. Zamalek in front, 42-37. Prince Nesta, your thoughts on Foucache?
Yeah, they're really battling hard. Such a great thing, you know, to see, especially since Zamalek has been controlling this one. But they're slowly coming back into it. And, you know, I could also say some of the key players for Zamalek are seated on the bench, resting. And there's a lot of substitution patterns and rotations going on and stuff. I'm just hoping the Foucache side, they don't get tired, you know, so that in the second half, you know, they'll be so tired to even score. So I'm just hoping that, you know, some of these good players get some rest, so that they can be fresh in the second half.
Prince, do you sense any letdown by Zamalek after that emotional victory last night over Petro de Luanda?
Letdown? No, really. This is a Zamalek side that is just resting. I'm telling you, they already accomplished their mission yesterday, you know, beating Petro. But today is just resting. It's just a warm-up game, this one, for them.
All right, a little resta with Prince Nesta. All right, let's go back to the action in Cairo. Zamalek in front by 5 points.
We'll see if that even has an effect, because he was not happy with what he saw from his Zamalek players.
But, you know, he's won titles. He's you know, he's won trophies. So obviously he wants to be very strict, and he won't like what he sees. I mean, this is a 5 point game, and look who's got possession. And here they are trying to take advantage. It's been picked up by Mbanza. Mbanza goes for the little hesitant shot there and doesn't creep over and in. Picked up by Strawberry Jr. 1:36 left on the clock. McKinney drives in, gets the ball out. In, out, and shout about it if you can, but there's a foul that's been committed. It's Islam Salem.
And it's straight to the charity line. Just a reminder that both teams are in foul trouble. And looking at the Zamalek options in that paint just goes to show you how much depth they have in their front court.
Sungu getting tangled up with Diogo there as well. So we can obviously see that there's lots of little battles taking place in the bigger picture. And that will play an important role going into the second half. But stay out of trouble in the foul department. Make that ball safe, first of all. Foucache doing the business. Look at that. They don't even manage to get any points on the scoreboard. So it's a five-point lead and 1:20. Honestly, if Espoir Foucache go into the half
with a situation where they're 2 or 3 points. I tell you, it's going to be a fantastic scenario for them, because at one point, I think they were down to about 15 points.
Absolutely, and it's a big rebound there from Ike Diogo, who just gives Zamalek another chance to score on that possession.
McKinney goes out wide. It's Mahmoud. Mahmoud, the shot clock down to 7. We know what he's capable of doing. Salem, Strawberry Jr., McKinney. McKinney under a little bit of pressure. And there is the foul. Just went in a little bit too hard there. Ben Ilunga on McKinney. And straight to the free throw line.
Zamalek are scoring 53% on the free throw line. They need to do a better job than that, because if this game goes all the way, it will be a little bit difficult. And that is a second foul for Mutanga.
Yeah, he just went in a little bit too hard. It's a bit of a shame, that was, because he came right across. He didn't do anything wrong. It was just pure enthusiasm and motivation. And sometimes you can get the better of you, kind of, Q.
Nothing wrong with a little enthusiasm and motivation. You got to play hard.
You've got to play hard, and I think you've got to play hard against Zamalek, because we know exactly what they're capable of doing, and they'll do the same.
Is 16 points for McKinney, 6 for 6 on the free throw line. It's been perfect.
Full court press, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely top notch. Great performance from McKinney. Full court press paying off. They get the ball back immediately, and 42.4 seconds left to go. Managed to get 2, so it's a 7-point lead, and they get the ball back. Now we're just waiting. And now they get the green light to start with McKinney. Taking the ball up court. Watch out for the movement. He's got the big man here. Diogo Mahmoud there as well. The Nigerian picks it up. And we've got 30 seconds left to play. He comes in from the cold, gets the ball out. Strawberry Jr. tries to go around. Good passing of the ball. McKinney back out to Strawberry Jr. Big three-pointer coming up. It comes off the metal. Who's going to rebound that? And I think the fingertips. Oh, it is going to be Zamalek who get possession. The fingertips of a Fukash player knock the ball out, and they do get possession.
And looking at the replay there, a failed attempt on the three-pointer, and looks like it was off McKinney, but nope, it's the Zamalek possession.
And the blocked ball, but it's going to be a foul committed, of course. We can just see this.
It's very smart play there from Eslam Salem to fake and draw the foul and get an opportunity on the line.
6 points, 3 fouls. Now see Zambanza obviously in trouble there, so that makes it a little bit delicate for Ambanza and that man Jack Kapongo. And just to finish off the half, they're bringing on some extra physical presence. Omar Hisham, who has got lightning fast acceleration, and Kidju, who's known to out-muscle his opponents once in a while. It's going to be the last play of the half. Fukash in possession, 37-46. Chance for them to try and get that final score. Ball comes out wide. It's a 3-point shot. It's a beautiful score as well. And how about that? And that is the last play of the half. A buzzer beater. It's Rolly Fuller dropping in with a 3 to make it 7. A 7.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Halftime in Cairo, Egypt. The home team, Zamalek, the defending Basketball Africa League champion, with a 7-point lead over Espoir Fukash, 46-39, the score in Cairo. Rolly Fuller with a basket at the end to pull Fukash within 7 points. I'm joined for some halftime analysis by the hoops-loving Prince Nesta. Always a fiesta with Prince Nesta. Welcome back, Prince.
Thank you so much, Sunny. Always great to be here with you every time. And of course, what a fantastic match. You've got a good game in our hands. I mean, David versus Goliath fixture for sure. But it's like David is just about to write another history altogether on this Easter.
Well, I know Prince, I think Zamalek was up early by almost 20 points, I believe. And now Fukash within 7 points at halftime. I think they really maybe feel like they can upset the defending champions on their home court.
Yes, yeah, anything is possible. As I told you yesterday, you never know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter how you start the game, all that counts, especially in basketball, since we're in the business of, scoring baskets. You might play well, but without scoring baskets, nothing counts. And so, really, you never know what's going to happen in the end. They might just pull an upset, and wow, that would be a fantastic upset, considering the fact that, Fukash is actually one of the weakest teams in this tournament. And, one thing that really didn't work for them, especially in the first half when, they started off a little bit slow, was because they weren't really good defensively, and they weren't really executing, a great game, especially on the offensive end. They really struggled with those three-pointers, but something, really started going well for them in the sense of, Rolling Ganga, for instance, came in, and that's always their go-to person. And, he's been scoring. He had 6 points right now. And, of course, he had 2 rebounds. If you look at, one of their players who really caught my eye was Jack Kabuya, who, scored 9 points. They've got Chris Laza, 6 points. And, they also got Emmanuel Okorafor, the be an elevate player playing in this particular team. And, one thing that excites me with the Fukash side, Sunny, is that this is one of those teams that doesn't have those stars from, United States of America or Australia and stuff. Most of these guys are local boys, which really makes it great for African basketball.
Taking a look at the stats, Fukash, 10 points in the paint. That means pretty close to the basket, compared with Zamalek, 18 points in the paint. Points from turnovers, Zamalek with 7 points and Fukash with 8. Bench points, how are the reserve players doing? Well, Fukash's reserves are doing quite well, 25 points off the bench. Zamalek's bench has 10 points. Right now, Prince, what do you think? Can Fukash stay within striking range?
Yes, if Anas Mahmoud sits on the bench, DJ Strawberry sits on the bench, and some of these guys, because what's going on is that Anas Mahmoud only has 4 points. Remember, this has been the leading scorer in this Zamalek side. Strawberry only has 6 points. And, I'm pretty sure they're going to come back firing from all cylinders, guns blazing, especially in the second half, because some of these guys want to, break individual, team records. At the same time, they also want to break individual records, And so that's also at stake. But at the same time, yes, Fukash can basically come back onto this one if they continue playing the way they have been doing, especially towards the second quarter, where, to catch up with the Zamalek scoreline. But then again, Sunny, there's also another key ingredient or key piece missing in this particular Zamalek squad, and this is actually a quiz for you. This guy, also went to school, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier on, the connection that Anas Mahmoud has, with Donovan Mitchell, the Utah Jazz player. This player also went to the University of Louisville. Who am I talking about, Sunny? He's in this game in one of the teams.
I think you have stumped me there, Prince. So he went to Louisville.
Yes.
You've got me stumped.
he's I'm going to give you a clue, easy clue. He's a Dominican-American player.
Oh, that would be our friend Edgar Sosa.
Great.
Edgar, so right. I believe he play with Mahmoud for Louisville?
No, really, because he played for Louisville in the year 2006, around 2010. while Mahmoud, you know, came in a little bit later on around 2017, 2018.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes, they do share that for, you know, and he was a incredible player for the University of Louisville and led them to the NCAA tournament.
Well, let me throw a quiz your way, Prince. One of the key players for Zamalek is DJ Strawberry. As you mentioned, he has 6 points in the first half. There's another DJ right now in Cairo. Do you know who that DJ is?
You know I love DJs. I'm a DJ myself. Is that DJ Ebo?
DJ Ebo! Yes, DJ Ebo controlling the beat in Cairo. And I saw a photo flashed up of DJ Ebo Prince, and it did remind me of that wonderful interview you did last Basketball Africa League season with DJ Poison Ivy in Kigali. I guess she must probably be in Dallas right now, don't you think, Prince, with the Mavericks?
Yes. You know, the last time I caught up with her, basically she was, she was one of those DJs for sure for the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, she's like a trailblazer of all sorts, having been the Dallas Mavericks' first female team DJ in the franchise history, and is the only second female DJ in NBA league history, you know, to accomplish that feat, which is being a trailblazer, considering the fact that she was actually born in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, you know, raised in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, she also played piano and cello before discovering, you know, her love for the turntables. And at the same time, you know, she has managed to, open some of the performances of greats such as Nas, Wiz Khalifa, you know, J. Cole, and a lot of these musicians. And of course, she's always at the on-demand DJ. And one thing that, when I interviewed her actually the last time when she was DJing in, you know, Rwanda during the Basketball African League, one thing that I remember she told me, it doesn't really matter the gender. You know, after only said and done, the only thing that should matter is how well you do your job, which was really inspirational, son.
And keeping with the subject of music, Prince, and basketball, I know some NBA teams occasionally will maybe add a concert after the game to the to your ticket, so to speak. What do you think about the Basketball Africa League doing something similar, like maybe having a top African artist give a concert after the game ends?
Oh, it would be fantastic. That's one way actually to get fans to come out there. And, you know, let's say today they announced, let's say one African superstar, you know, came out to perform, in the arena. Basically, I'm pretty sure this place would be full. And so that's one of the strategies that I think they're using. Like today I'm seeing, they've got plenty of entertainment, lots of entertainment going on, even during halftime. And, you know, after the game, I've been seeing a lot of fans, and, you know, in an enthusiastic mood, basically having a good time in Egypt. And more so thanks to some of the DJs like DJ Ebo, who are really playing music and keeping fans entertained, because music and basketball goes hand in hand. I mean, look at a lot of rappers. Remember last year, J. Cole, you know, played
right.
An instrumental role as far as, you know, basketball is concerned in Rwanda, marketing basketball. So I think that would really be a pretty good idea, Sonny.
And speaking of halftime entertainment, we just saw some dancers, Kazafi Troop dancers on the court in Cairo. So I do think the Basketball Africa League organizers are trying to offer different forms of entertainment, Prince.
Absolutely, which is such a good thing, because I love my music. I don't know, Sonny, who's your favorite musician of all time?
You know, I have to say one of my favorites, Prince, when I was just a little boy, Elton John. Elton John, I was so fascinated by Elton John that I went out and bought a pair of platform shoes that Elton used to wear, these big high-heeled platform shoes. And I wore them only a few times, Prince, because I kept spraining my ankles when I wore them. So I had to hold off on those shoes for a while. But Elton has remained a favorite. I wish I could say I played the piano. I don't. And you know, there's a lesson to be learned there. Elton started playing the piano at a very early age, and that was one of the questions I asked Ike Diagu before our interview. We were talking sort of off the record, and I asked him when he first picked up a basketball, and he said he was I think he said he was 7 years old when he first started playing. And I think, you know, I think of sportsmen like Tiger Woods, Prince. Tiger started swinging a golf club when he was, I think, 3 or 4 years old. They start young. I think to really be a prodigy in some of these sports, you do have to start young. That said, you have players like Joel Embiid, who apparently didn't pick up a basketball until he was in high school.
I agree with you, and that's the story of a lot of folks, especially when it comes to Africa. That's how we learn of these, lots of these games. Personally, I play badminton. I do play basketball, and all those stuff, I started picking them up, you know, as when I went to high school. And so I remember when I was so young playing soccer, because I grew up playing soccer with friends and stuff, and you would be, you know, your parents would discipline you, like, hey, go and read, you know. It's books first, you know, entertainment later. Those are co-curricular activities that are not really taken seriously. But I would urge all parents right now listening to us, you know, basically to let the children feel free to express themselves and their talents, because you never know.
And I would also add that playing team sports like basketball, Prince, and soccer, all team sports, I think they teach you valuable lessons and concepts that you can learn in other endeavors of your life, like teamwork, working as a group, time management, discipline. There are lessons to be learned through sports that have a carryover effect. Preparation. You're not going to excel at anything unless you do the prep work. That's one of my personal beliefs, Prince.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even never giving up, you know, no matter how huge or no matter what the gap is as far as the scholar is concerned, you always have to put in your best all the time. And it's also a great networking. You know, you get to meet friends. That's how we made friends, especially when I came from Kenya and went to the University of Nevada for the first time, you know, my year in the United States. That's how I met friends, going to the basketball court and talking to people, having a good time. At the same time, you know, it's also, as far as mental state is concerned, it helps you refresh in your mind and, you know, just be a better person for sure. Sports is really great, Sonny. I agree with you.
And one other lesson, life lesson, is it teaches you how to lose. Most of us go through life. Most of us don't go through life on a continuous winning streak, Prince, where we're high-fiving everybody every day of the week. Life simply isn't like that. And so, you know, you do learn how to lose if you stick with sports, how to bounce back, how to show resilience, how to get up again. I must say one of my favorite sports is boxing. And I've always admired these fighters that can get up off the canvas and continue the fight. You know what I mean? Continue the fight, Prince.
Oh, man. Mike Iron Tyson. Goodness me. Yes, I may admire boxing, but I would never want to be with those guys. And, you know, all this inspirational talk that we are giving right here on the phone. At the same time, I may never want to compete even if I'm losing against those guys. Stepping in the ring with Mike Iron Tyson, or, you know, I think you've interviewed, was it Foreman?
I have talked with Big George, and Smokin' Joe Frazier is one of my favorites, Prince. But I must say that Mike Tyson has one of my all-time favorite sports quotes, Prince. Mike Tyson once said, and it's a life lesson, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That is very true. It dislocates you. You forget everything that, you know, the coach told you before. It's messed up, man. I would never want to try to even see my kid, honestly, get in there. And I was the one, you know, talking about let the kids express themselves. But really, when they rubber meets the road, it becomes a little bit complicated, Sonny. Boxing is a dangerous game.
It is a dangerous sport, but I think one of the lessons from that Tyson quote is it is good to have a backup plan, and that you have to adapt. You have to adapt in life, you know?
My plan would just be to run away from the risk. Talking about resilience, Sonny, it looks like you really were resilient in the streets of Cairo. You've been to Cairo before, right?
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit post-game, Prince, but it does look like the players are back out on the court for the second half. Zamalek in front, 46-39 over Espor Fukash. So let's go back to Cairo and the action.
Six in competition will qualify for Kigali. The finals taking place between the 20th and the 28th of May. Rwanda is the place to be. And we are seeing Fukash getting the ball out. It's a long-range shot. It's a three-point effort here. And the rebound, another rebound, another chance for a rebound finally has been made safe by that man, Islam Salem.
Absolutely great response there from the reigning champions.
See, that's beautifully done, isn't it? And the McKinney-Mahmoud combination pays off. It was one of the first scores on the boards at the start of the first quarter, and it's the same scenario at the start of the second half.
Do you think they have a script written somewhere?
Oh, I don't know where they've written that script. There's some kind of script written, definitely. And a long-range shot from Diogu. That wasn't scripted in his mind, that's for sure. It gives us a chance to talk to Q, who will tell us what he thinks the tactics are for Fukash. They've been pretty good going into the third quarter. What do they need to do now?
I think they just need to keep playing the same system and structure that I spoke about at the beginning of the first day, showing a little bit more composure, and I think it's the direct effect of Emmanuel Mavompo being on the bench. And another thing, this is a young team. Give them some confidence, and who knows how well they'll play. The sky is the limit.
Oh, that's a massive bucket, that is. A beautiful bucket from Islam Salem, who just drops in. Oh, it was a laser shot, that was, and he's up to 8 points now. And Banza. Sorry, Asen Mawana. And an opportunity. Oh, it just comes in. That was just delightful to the eye. Ben Alunga with a big three-pointer. And all of a sudden, you can see there's 44-51. Still 7 points. They're not allowing them to get ahead, Usher.
Every time Espoir Fukash tried to score, Zamalek respond. And the consistency, though, will come from Espoir Fukash trying to stay within the conversation.
Well, Darryl Strawberry Jr. getting points at the other end. It's the same scenario. This is beautiful, isn't it? Look at that. McKinney goes up, and that's a beautiful 2 points as well. McKinney now up to 18 points. Top scorer here tonight. We haven't got one single player from Fukash in double figures just yet. That will probably happen pretty soon, but at the moment, we're not there. It's a good ball, a good pass into the paint, and I'm afraid that the turn, the roll and the shot doesn't drop for that man or Okorafor, but at the other end, you can see how dangerous they are. Salem doing the business for Zamalek.
That's exactly how Zamalek approach every game. They don't give you a chance to settle down on defense. They attack the basket, and it's paying off.
It's a fantastic shot from Rolly Fuller. He's produced a couple of those now. That is just absolutely sublime. And a three-pointer that, again, keeps Zamalek in range.
Absolutely. The man has been looking good, and he's contributing one possession at a time.
I've been so impressed by Islam Salem. He really is such an important player. He just drags away defenders. And that's the shot clock goes down to zero. And it's a little bit too late for Ike Diogu to get his three-point attempt in. And for once, they kind of rattle Zamalek and get possession back.
And looking at that replay there, incredible movement from McKinney to Anas.
That's a big shot coming in. Look at that stunning effort from Asen Mawana. And honestly, the three-point percentage is going up in a big way for this team from the Democratic Republic of Congo. And they've got a big basketball scene in Kinshasa, but also in Lubumbashi, of course. down in the southeast part of the country. Mazembe being a top team in many ways, a little bit like the Zamalek of Egypt, if you like, because they play lots of sports down there, and volleyball, basketball, and of course football as well, or soccer if you like. It's a big institution and a big center, and lots of players, they head down from Kinshasa down there and then eventually come back up to Kinshasa, or just stay down there, of course, down in the Copper Belt region.
Absolutely. The club Espoir Foucache creating new inspiration in Kinshasa, based in Gombe, one of the largest areas in Kinshasa, as we look at Ike reacting to that foul called on him.
One team foul for Zamalek, and Foucache in possession. There's another long range shot coming in. The range is not good, just a little bit over the top there, coming from that man Benalunga. Benalunga trying to find the points. We do have a player who's into double figures now for Foucache, as we see the Nigerian go on Diogu with a beautiful triple. In the same position, he loves that spot. He should mark an X on the court, because that's where he goes every time. And he's drained a couple there already.
It is at the 45, which makes it very easy for him to drop that.
And that is just a reaction. Every single time there's a reaction. This time, Raleigh Fuller, and he too has got 3 from 5 3-pointers.
And now he goes into the double digits. It's 11 points for the Congolese international.
It just opened up. I mean, it was a boulevard. It could have been the Champs-Élysées, the way that it just opened up for Daryl Strawberry Jr. And a long range shot, look at that. It is absolutely remarkable. Raleigh Fuller is the man.
It is 13 points for that man. It's been counted as a 2.
It is a 2, you're absolutely right. He's got the score. I don't believe it. He just gets tangled up with absolutely everybody, and he still manages to get a shot in every single time. Foul committed by Arsène Moana, who just gets tangled up. He still has got the strength to make sure that that goes up and goes in. He's ridiculously good, isn't he?
He's a man on fire. 20 points for Makini as he leads the scoring in the third quarter.
4:39 left to play in the third quarter, 56-64. It's an 8-point game between Espoir Foucache of the DRC, Zamalek of Egypt. Break time. We'll be back soon.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Right now, break in the action. We're in the third quarter. Zamalek, the defending league champion, leads Espoir Foucache 64-56. Prince Nesta Foucache hanging around in this contest.
I love what they're doing. They've really been superb offensively. You know, what you can do, I can do better. What Zamalek can do, Foucache can do better. And they're really scoring. And, you know, they're maintaining that gap, which is really great. And it's just good for their confidence also. The more you score, the more confident you get, Sonny.
And in terms of that question you asked me earlier, Prince, I was in Egypt in 2006 when Egypt hosted the Africa Cup of Nations. I was not at this arena where the Basketball Africa League games are being played, but I did see some great soccer. Soccer, of course, the king of all African sports. But I guess Egyptian fans a little sorrowful this year, Prince, after being knocked out of World Cup contention by Senegal.
I agree with you. Pretty sorrowful, but looks like Zamalek is actually redeeming back the glory a little bit, which is a good thing for sure.
Yes, Zamalek, definitely one of the, maybe the sports club in Egypt. They lead by 8 points, 64-56. The players are back out on the court, so let's go back to the action in Cairo.
We are back at the Dr. Hassan Mustafa Sports Hall, and we've got a game on, haven't we? Because when you actually see the scoreline, okay, Espoir Foucache, 56-64. Maybe we thought that Zamalek would run away a little bit. You know, maybe we'd say, okay, they're defending champions. They know what to do. They've just beaten Petro, the most dangerous team. But, you know, looking at what Fukash have been doing. Very impressive. McKinney, 21 points, 7 assists. He is just showing us what he's capable of doing. And on the free throw line, he's not doing too bad, is he? Good bit of work there by Strawberry Jr. Going around the outside. The foul's been committed by Bobo Kasongo, who's a hard fighter, we know. But on that occasion, commits the foul.
Well, obviously, looking at Espoir, Fukash, they've been fighting. At some point, Robbie, this game was 26 for Zamalek and 6 for Espoir, Fukash, but they've come out fighting. And here's our cameraman, Safe. He's not been bumped into. Is anyone targeting the cameraman, you think?
Yeah, okay. He's okay. He's covered. Yeah, I think it's about the third time since the start of the BAL that he's actually, you know, been in the wars, but he's okay. He's doing a great job. 11 points for Strawberry Jr. and 3 assists. Looking very strong as well. Another key player, and I think that we've got key players who are showing us what they're capable of doing and leaving an indelible mark on this Basketball Africa League season 2. Fukash needs to get points. They know that they've got to react and score just as quick and just as often as McKinney goes up again. It's a beautiful 2. And a quick transition, get the ball up ASAP. That's what they did. And I think it's time for a timeout.
It is a timeout. Espoir Fukash.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Timeout in Cairo. Zamalek now leading Espoir Fukash 69-56. Let's go back to Prince Nesta. Prince, seems like Zamalek maybe toying a little bit with Fukash every time they get within striking range.
I agree with you, and you gotta love this guy, Mikhail McKinney. He has 21 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists. You know, I think his index might be higher. And you know, he's actually very experienced since he's a Filipino American basketball player and has had experience playing in California and, you know, has been in the NBA, you know, G League. And so yes, he brings the experience to these games and it's really showing for the Zamalek side.
Let's give a shout out for one of the players on Fukash, Raleigh Nganga. He has a team high 13 points. And another player you mentioned earlier, Prince, Jack Kabuya with 9 points. And Arsene Mwamba with 11 points for Fukash. The players are back out on the court. Zamalek leads by 13. 69-56. We'll go back to Cairo.
100 million trees right across from the west coast to the east coast of Africa. Can you imagine that? That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
We've already got the Congo.
The Congo
has, is big.
Yes, it's big and it has a huge.
There's going to be
forest.
A few 100 million trees in there. There's
absolutely, definitely.
It is
definitely.
The heartbeat of Africa and one of the heartbeats of the world, of course, you know. The lungs, I think they call them, don't they? The lungs of the world.
Yes,
in any case,
sir.
Along with the Amazon, etc. But yeah, it's so important. Here we go. And looking very dangerous indeed, Zamalek. They put themselves in a good position. And this third quarter could be a very important one. Good rebound, good work. And that's a great layup as well. Dropped in by Salem. Salem has been outstanding. He's now notched himself up to 12 points. 3 players in double figures. And we will go and see Q, because Q's got something for us.
Well, just really enjoying the free-flowing offense in those first 6 minutes. Both teams combining for 42 points and giving us an offensive showcase. But the focus really from Coach Emmanuel Mavombo and Espoir Fukash is to slow down, try and get value for the possessions and see what they can get out of this next last 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's important, isn't it? You always mention the third quarter. We always talk about the third quarter and how important it is. This is the time that we can expect Zamalek to produce their make or break maneuver, just knowing how dangerous they are. The field goals, 50%, 39 for Espoir Fukash. They need to try a little bit more, but if they do try, they've got to sink them. It's as simple as that. They have a chance, and this man has been on fire. Fula going around the outside, trying to get his shot in. That is nearly in, just rattles the metal, comes back out. Mahmoud does the business.
Well, every time Espoir Fukash attempt to score, they don't give themselves a second chance opportunity on the rebounds, and Zamalek punishes them on the other side of the court, especially when that man, Anas Mahmoud, drives the transition. And looking at that replay, Ike Diogo looking for the contact, falling to the ground. And that's what his size brings to this Zamalek side.
He's kind of not the player he wants to get in. You don't want to get in the way of him. There's Laza, 2 points, three fouls, another player on three fouls. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get in his way. He is an absolute giant. 7-foot wingspan, of course, an NBA power forward of yesteryear, born in Buffalo, but his parents are Nigerian, of course, drafted by Golden State, number 9 draft in 2005. Larry Bird called him a gem of a deal when he managed to get traded to the Indiana Pacers, just to give you an idea of just what he brings to this game. 9 points already, and this will be double figures for the Nigerian from the free throw line.
Absolutely incredible, and that's exactly why he came back to work with Will Voigt. Obviously, he was part of that team that won the FIBA AfroBasket in 2015.
Yeah, massive win, wasn't it, from the West African nation? And we love the fact that there's some great players. Oh, it's a beautiful three-pointer, isn't it, from out wide. Fuller again. Honestly, he's doing some great long-range shooting and dropping in and keeping them as close as possible. It is complicated against Zamalek when they start to click.
More trees. More trees, Robbie. Yes, more trees. More trees.
Two minutes and three left in the third quarter. And they need to just, it's damage limitation for Espoir Foukash at the moment. And the ball picked up by the big man, Diogo, who's trying to find a little bit of space. That's Farag with a three-pointer and a big score from him. Ahmed Farag of Alexandria. Beautiful part of the world, beautiful city just on the coast. Drenched in Egyptian history, of course. Bibliotheque.
Such a beautiful city with great scenery, and a lot of tourists making their way there every year from across the world. And that just, you know, brings the whole diversity to the player and the style of basketball that he plays.
Will Voigt talking with Anas Mahmoud to communicate and understand. Just trying to get the body language to understand what they're actually communicating about, of course. But he's making gestures, strong gestures, as Barak gets the ball out wide. It's into the hands of Diogo. Diogo tries to go up. His shot doesn't drop, so it's been picked up here by Jack Kapongo. And a chance for them to try and get points. It goes up and it goes in. That's a great score and an important score from Narcisse Ambanza. Ambanza up to 6 points now.
And it's back to a 15-point game for Espoir Foukash, who are trying to reduce that to a single-digit deficit before going into the fourth quarter.
Diogo with the drive, gets the ball out. Kiju going up for a three-pointer. He knew who was in. And that's a beautiful score. And look at that. 10 points in the paint, 7 assists, 9 assists, and 16 from 20 points in the paint for Zamalek. They're going right through the middle. They're making it really complicated, and they're turning things on. It's been a very good quarter for Zamalek. And the last, there might be two more plays. Look at that. That is just brilliant coming in from that man, Diogo.
Diogo has had an incredible tournament. This is the third time he's registering double digits on the scoreboard.
Up to 52% in the field goal department, and Foukash just losing possession here, but they picked it back up. There's a chance, but you can see that Omar Hesham commits the foul and just preventing Jack Kapongo from finding his way down the baseline and around. Kidju also coming in. It's Kidju who picks up the foul, in fact. And it was just on the buzzer, so we will have the free throw shot, 61-82.
Well, Kijo, he brings a good size there into the paint for Zamalek.
Well, Zamalek offense exploding for 33 points in this third quarter. They really were executing well, and those last three threes were just an emphasis and an exclamation mark on what was a great quarter for Zamalek offensively.
You have to attribute that to the return of some of the starting lineup. who just literally opened up a lot more on that with the Makini, Strawberry, and Ike and Anas, that man on the screen.
Oh, Makini, 23 points and a solid performance. 0.5 seconds on the clock, unable to get the rebound. And, well, that's the end of the third quarter. And it has been a remarkable performance there.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Right now, after three quarters of play in Cairo, Zamalek, the home team, leads Espoir Fukash by 21 points, 82-61. I'm joined by Prince Nesta. Prince, our friend Ike Diagu, playing some good basketball in Cairo. He's had a good tournament, hasn't he, Prince?
Absolutely. You know, he slacked a little bit in the second game against the Cape Town Tigers, but came out big in the second half, you know. But in this one, for sure, he's making a big difference, considering the fact right now he's got 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. And, you know, his index, as you know, I'm sure you pretty much like that word, and you like looking at the index. You know, he's got 17, high above, you know, some of these guys. But great play from him. Don't you just love the smooth transition and the ball flow and unselfish passing that, you know, the Zamalek squad is having right now?
They really had a big third quarter, Prince. I think they scored 36 points in the third quarter, and they've really separated themselves from Zamalek. In terms of that, my new favorite statistic, the plus-minus, Michael McKinney. I think he leads all players with 28 for his index, and McKinney also leading all players with a game-high 23 points. He's played very well for Zamalek.
I think what's also happening is that fatigue factor I was talking about in the first half. Because, you know, Zamalek kept on resting a couple of their players, getting ready for the second half. But, you know, Fukash gave it their all in the first half. But I can see some elements of fatigue right now.
And I think you also mentioned, you know, once Zamalek brought out some of its key players, it could widen the lead, Prince. And that's exactly what's happened.
Absolutely. Okay. Stay here, you know, on the Voice of America, because we're giving you all the best analyses of the Basketball African League taking place in Cairo.
And don't forget, VOA listeners, it's always a fiesta with Prince Nesta. So we're going to go back to Cairo now, and Zamalek with a big 21-point lead. 82-61.
In as many games that they're going into the fourth quarter with a double-digit deficit. But how will they react tonight?
Let's see what happens here with Amanza in possession for Fukash. Need to come back. They need to get points quickly. And there's Fuller again with a three-pointer. Absolutely in a class of his own. And just look what he's producing. That's his third three-pointer from 10.
He's really hell-bent on planting more trees.
He is. He's a green. He's an organic man. That's why, Asha.
Absolutely. And coming from the Democratic Republic of Congo, absolutely befitting of this role.
64-82. And they get possession back. Will Voigt constantly communicating with his players to make sure that they understand exactly what he wants to do. And Farag with Voigt as a big shot comes in from down the left-hand side. And Akidju just getting in the way of Fuller. Fuller, what he produces is quite extraordinary. Do you remember he was the hero in the win over AS Police of Mali? 4 from 8 in the 3 points, 29 points in the qualifying, in the battle, of course, to down AS Police of Mali, a team that we saw compete in the first edition of the Basketball Africa League. Quite extraordinary. Tonight, he's showing us what he's capable of doing as well. There's Kiju with 9 points, but we're going straight to the free throw line to find out what Fuller's doing. And well, he's looking pretty good at the moment. Some good points on his scoreboard.
And obviously, 21 points so far. Just really looking great. And for a starter, that is rewarding for the coach. 21 points, 3 rebounds. Perfect on the free throw line.
And McKinney getting the ball into the hands of Hisham. Hisham comes off the glass, unable to pick up the rebound. Kiju, good work there from the Nigerian Diogu. They pick the ball back up. Kiju out wide and into the hands of McKinney. McKinney bites his time, waits, and then goes. That's a wonderful drive. He just does the magic, doesn't he? Yeah, McKinney is the man. And again, he saw that that man, Fuller, was increasing his tally. He wanted to move ahead. 25 now for the main man, McKinney.
Well, we just named him the dancing man, and is not disappointing.
Hisham getting the ball out wide. Here is Salem. Salem into the hands of Diogo Kiju. Kiju McKinney, not a perfect pass, but it doesn't matter. He can just pick up anything. He's got hands with glue on them. Perfectly done. Neatly done. Into the hands of Salem. Salem out wide. Kiju, acres of space, loads of time. And a big three-pointer. And that is a big score, isn't it, from Kiju, who puts himself up to 12 points now. And at the other end, it's a good score as well. And they'll go to the free throw line. Brilliantly done, perfectly done by Chris Mpaka. It was only 18.
It was good reading there to time that basket. But from the other side, Kijo delivering behind the arc.
And that's again down to Omar Hisham and what he does. He'll go in. He'll suck in the defenders, and then he'll make sure that the pass goes out wide to a player who's capable of getting a little bit of time, setting his sights and getting the points.
And talking about capability, McKinney has been capable all night as he brings down that ball.
17 points. Espoir Boukash 70, Zamalek 87. And there's the attempt at two as a mid-range jumper from McKinney picked up once again. Hansa gets the ball out and another three-pointer. This is ridiculous. Jack Kabongo this time with a brilliant score, and he once again extends his tally, and he's up to 11 points now.
There has to be something in that number five, because Rolly, who wears jersey 15, dominating the three-pointers tonight, just really looking good. It's amazing.
Strong defense, back to 15 points, and a big shot coming in, another chance. It's a mid-range two. The mid-range two rattles the metal, comes out, made safe by Diogo. As they go up, the Hisham, McKinney for three, doesn't manage to sink it. Kiju picks the ball up, he goes on a little bit of a roll there, and ball comes back off the glass, and it's not been successfully rebounded offensively. Fight for the loose ball into the hands of Salem. 6:46 left to play in the fourth quarter, and 15 points. Oh, that's a beautiful layup. And Omar Hisham, the motivation. When he's on a mission, he is committed, and a very strong performance from Hisham, who's showing us what he's capable of doing. And we will go over to Q now, just to get his thoughts on how Boukash can deal with this Zamalek offensive.
I don't think there's any way to deal with the Zamalek offensive at this stage. I think they really are playing at a high level. McKinney, of course, leading it from the front with his great play, but they've done a really fantastic job of distributing the basketball. They're shooting pretty well from the three-point line, and this is the reason that they are the defending champions, because when the pressure is on, they adapt to the pressure and they know how to perform. In this case, pressure builds diamonds.
No, it definitely does, and we saw that against Petro last night in the fourth quarter. Of course, that final fourth quarter was where the game was won. There's no doubt about it. And they just had a little bit extra, didn't they? They just had that extra little bit of pizzazz, the creative ability, the ability to just click into a different gear. And that's exactly what they did, finding their three-point range and delivering the goods at the end of the night.
And that is the character that we're seeing here tonight. They're able to go into fourth gear and literally look for that victory, demand and ask all the questions against their opponent.
That's a problem. That is that's foul number four, I think, for Nasise Mbanza, which means that he's in a bit of trouble there.
Yes, he is, and you can see the reaction from the Espoir Boukash technical bench. They will not look to replace him for now.
No, it makes sense. 6 points and, 5:52 left on the clock. Arsène Moano could potentially come on, and come off the bench and played some good basketball as well. So they'll just live with it, right?
Absolutely. They'll just trust him to see off the job as we look at the coach there, Ravan Mwimba, and his opposing mate, Will Voigt, all concentrating and just hoping that their teams win tonight.
Kidru gets the ball back out. There's a chance for Salem. Lays it up and for the alley-oop for Mahmoud, but he's not in the right position. There's a defender in front of him and going right through the middle. It's a beautiful layup. Look at that, Jack Afongo. And producing a beautiful drive through. Very aggressive play that was from Kalzongo.
He just decided to take the ball to Zamalek, and that attitude is exactly what they need as a team right now.
Great passing. Strawberry Jr. gets the ball to Hisham and Salem, sorry, and he picks the ball up out wide. It goes, and this time the shot not good enough for Kidru. He's racing back to defend immediately. Good work and a beautiful as the attempted hook shot over the top comes to nothing from Isungu. Look at that for a pass, beautifully done. And again, Salem with the under and over, but he gets brought down. And who's committed that foul? Is that Mbanza? If it is,
it is Okorafor, the Nigerian.
Okorafor. So I think that might be his first foul. And 76-89 is where we are. 4:55 left on the clock. We've got a timeout. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Right now, Zamalek, the home team, has a 13-point lead, 89-76, over Espoir Fouakchache of the Democratic Republic of Congo. We have 4 minutes and 55 seconds left in this game. And Prince Nesta Zamalek appears headed for its 10th consecutive Basketball Africa League victory.
I agree with you, but it looks like Fouakchache refusing to give up. You know, it's actually a great lesson. We were talking about this earlier. Never, ever give up. Give it your best until the last whistle. At the same time, you know, they're up against a great chemistry. People value their position. I'm talking about Zamalek. But I think they need more short blocks to stop some of the bleeding if they want to catch up and reduce this margin, Sonny.
Key players for Zamalek, Michael McKinney with 25 points. Ike Diagu, the Nigerian international, 13 points. DJ Strawberry, 12 points for Zamalek, which looks like it will definitely be contending for the trophy again next month in Kigali. We still have a few more games left in this Nile Conference. And on that note, Prince Nesta and I will be back on Monday at 20:30 UTC for our pregame show, featuring FAP of Cameroon versus Cobra Sport of South Sudan. That will be our next Voice of America Basketball Africa League broadcast. For now, let's go back to Cairo and the action between Fouakchache and Zamalek.
For him, 25 points, very well disciplined, working well with this man here, Mahmoud. Low score for Mahmoud, but he's played his important role, isn't he? I think he put in a big, big performance last night, as we saw. And he can just take his finger off the pulse of things tonight a little bit and let the others come to the fore. It's what he's done. He's only got 6 points. Salem, 13 points, 4 assists, and providing us with some fine basketball tonight. 4:50 left on the clock going into the fourth quarter. Look at that, 68-69% for the three throws, and it's been picked up, and there is a bit of contact over on that far side.
Absolutely. Anas Mahmoud just played 19 minutes tonight, obviously been given a break as Will Voigt, the coach, looks for other options, and those other options being Kijo, and he's delivered on defense and on offense. It's been great for the Egyptian Giants.
Fuller has been outstanding. That's a rare miss for him. And the basket won't count. And Zamalek get possession back. Mahmoud trying to go through the middle with a very fierce pass towards Strawberry Jr. Well, he's just aggressive as he usually is, Omar Hisham. And trying to fight through the traffic there.
And Zamalek, yes, 76-91, Roby, as Zamalek look for perhaps a second century at this tournament.
Just being fouled down, isn't he, Arsene Moana? That's the reason why he's heading to the bench. Are they forced to bring on Ambanza? Here he is, Diogu. Oh, he's going up for it. Yeah, he wanted to make a big statement there using that big, strong body of his.
And for me, it's really the current, the present, and the future of Nigerian basketball as Ike Diogu goes up against Okorafo, NBA Academy player, who's part of the BAL Elevate program. But we're just really enjoying the matchup there and to see how both players are embracing their roles in this game.
Kira, are you embracing your role?
I think I love my role. This is fun. I know why Asha is so happy all the time.
But why you're sat in that like sort of, you know, that velvet chair there just over in the back. It's not fair. Just kidding. He's roaming. That's a beautiful score, and they needed to drain that. Emmanuel Okorafo, obviously keeping an eye on what Ike Diogu was doing at the other end, of course, and producing some wonderful scoring ability. 78-91, 3:49 left to play. There's McKinney. McKinney on 25 points. Gets the ball back out to Salem. Salem, lots of movement. And the shot clock going down. He just forgets the ball. There's a chance for Fukash. What can they do? That's a beautiful... Well, it's a follow-up. Rebound was good. And a good support play. That's all they needed. Ambanza draining the two.
Ambanza just cleaning up nicely after Roly put the ball real hard on the glass. And 2 points for them.
Oh, that's a foul. That is, of course, McKinney going around. He's so difficult to defend, isn't he? Just the way that he moves his body left, right, and center all over the place. Emmanuel Okorafo commits the foul.
And it is the foul was actually given to Ambanza.
Oh, it is Ambanza. You're absolutely right. So
and he's fouled out.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. He's fouled out.
And Jonathan Shimbo is the player who's going to come on because the two point guards have both been fouled out.
A disaster
now,
for...
I don't think that... I think they're just making sure it's not a Ambanza. I'm pretty sure it's Okorafo.
As we see him dunk really, on the other side. Let's see after... The referees.
Yeah, we're just going to get clarification, of course, which obviously makes sense. And pretty sure it is. It is. So, Q, we're going to go to you.
Yes, the confirmation is that the foul is on number 21, Okorafo. So he'll pick up his third, and it will not be a foul out for Ambanza.
Okay, thank you so much for tidying that up. 3:20 left to play, so they still have their number one point guard. And they're starting five on court for the final run in the final few minutes.
Who's been massive for them, scoring 11 points so far.
And here he is in possession here, the Canadian, went to Winnipeg University, playing a big role, of course. The ball comes out Fuller into the hands of Kapongo. And another foul that's been committed. Sorry, came off the foot, so they just get possession back. But a timeout has been called. I believe it's 80 points to 94. It's by Fukash. And Fukash calling the timeout.
It is a 14-point game with 3 minutes to play. Espoir Fukash have what it takes to reduce that deficit and have a chance
they've been playing valiantly. You've got to say that when they saw that Zamalek were capable of moving ahead and just pushing themselves into a position where they feel very comfortable, Fukash hit back, and that was brilliant. It was really, really important for them to actually stand up and say, look, we qualified for this competition, we qualified for the Basketball Africa League, now we have to produce the goods. They're fighting for every single point. That's really important. That's what they needed to do. And we find ourselves with a very spirited performance. Espoir Fukash putting themselves into a very good performance. 80 points to 94. And Zamalek still in charge going into the final 3 minutes. There's still lots of basketball to be played before the final buzzer.
Absolutely great to see the Zamalek fans coming out in good numbers, and the children, the boys, the girls just cheerleading the White Knights and just creating that culture from a very young age.
Fuller with a beautiful three, and that was important. It's a big score, 83-94, 11 points now and 2:48. A couple of steals. They got to put a lot of pressure on the big shooters, especially this man here. And it's been successfully defended. Fuller taking the ball up court. Needs a bit of support. He does have it with Mbanza. Mbanza, of course, they'll keep an eye on the clock for every single second counts. He's gone right down. And that's the attempt just a little bit too high off the glass. Doesn't drop. Mahmoud Strawberry Jr. 2:17. Out wide, long-range shot coming in. It's a beautiful score as well. And Salem up to 17 points. Fuller again with a three-pointer. Look at that. That is beautiful. Beautiful from out wide.
Absolutely stunning that we are going to have more trees.
Both teams, both top scorers on 28 points. McKinney on one side. And that man who has been outrageously good tonight, Rolly Fuller. The shot goes up, and it's been made safe by that man, Fuller. Standout performance for his team, BC Espoir Fukash, 86-97. Now, the shot's not good, and there was contact. And the foul is on Daryl Strawberry Jr. And I think that's foul number two for him.
Okorafor just getting himself into the conversation there on the free throw line, but we're seeing
Okorafor has picked up the foul, in fact.
Yep, he's picked up the foul and is frustrated.
And we go straight up to the free throw line because they got five team fouls. Q, what have you spotted? As a former player, you see things that other people don't.
Well, right now, it's just interesting because Okorafor picks up his fourth foul, and that interpretation is the way that it is because it's a neutral ball. It's 50-50. It's neither offensive or defensive when the ball's in the air, and the push results in the free throw because of the bonus.
Thanks, Q. There you go. These kids need a little bit of airtime. Of course they do. 1:30 left, and he's going again. Fuller doesn't go for his three-pointer, but this man does. That is an incredibly spot-on three-pointer, a triple drain by Nasi Zambanza. And look at that, 89-98. Just got the impression that something could happen. It's a nine-point game.
It's his first three-pointer in this game. He was 0-for-2 earlier, and finally,
and they've got possession. They got possession, Asher, because that little mistake by Anis Mahmoud, it just hit his foot. They get possession, and they got a chance to
turn things around. It's a nine-point game, Robbie.
Absolutely.
They've outscored Zamalek in this quarter, 28-16.
And that's big. That really is big. That's the fighting spirit from these BAL debutants. And they're here for a reason, Q. They really are. Big drive through the middle. Makes the ball available. A little bit of hesitation. The ball comes up. It doesn't get drained, though, unfortunately. And that's unfortunate for Isungu. But, of course, the foul's been drawn. And this means, are they going to play that? Are they going to try and go through the middle, draw the fouls as often as they can, just to keep get the clock to stop every few seconds. That's probably going to be their game plan. If they can, they need to get hold of possession though to make it work.
Absolutely, because Zamalek will be trying to play the clock and reduce their possession for Fukash. But for now, it's a concentration on the free throw line.
It's been knocked out. They get possession as well. So that's a big play, in fact, because, all right, you missed the point from the free throw line, but you still get possession back. And 90-98, if they can get two from this, who knows what can happen? Well, first of all, you've got to win possession. Now, it came off the foot of Daryl Strawberry Jr., I think, so they will get possession back.
It did indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was there for the taking for Zamalek, but lack of concentration, maybe there's some fatigue. Remember, two games in the space of 24 hours takes its toll on the body. Q usually puts in three games a day. Averaging at normally 28 minutes. Give him a breather once in a while. Interpretation about where this ball came off. Let's have a look at this again. Was there a foul before he took the ball off his body and back into his own half? No foul. It is Zamalek who get possession.
And there you go with that confirmation. Back Coates and Zamalek have the position, Robbie.
Yeah, they're being controlled now, knowing that they can just use the clock a little bit. The shot clock down to 5 seconds. Got to use it now. Traveling call, and the little errors. There is a little bit of fatigue on court, Usher. I think there's a big game yesterday, physically and mentally. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Some of these players now, they're starting to just. Maybe just lose their focus a little bit.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. We're wrapping up our BAL coverage for this evening. Zamalek leading Espor Fukash 98-90.